to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends. Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one Iron Club crew sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Oh man, it's been so long since I've been on the air, I almost didn't want to come back on the air. But, show must go on, so I'm here. Good evening, folks. Good afternoon to some people. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm the host. You know who I am. I'm here to talk comic books. Hopefully I won't be talking it alone, or this won't be a short show, which it could be, because I haven't had a lot of time to find a lot of news to talk about. Plus, it seemed like a lot of news hasn't been going on. There's been some, but not a lot to, you know, report on. We're here live on rantemradio.com. And if you want to call in and talk to me on the show, you can do so on Skype at SilverSurfer_forever. I'd be glad to add you in if we can have a discussion about comic books or something close to it. There's plenty of ways you can listen to the show, of course, live in the chat room at rantemradio.com, or you can listen on Podbeam and iTunes is what you can listen on the download. And my mic is messed up. Tune in to Stitcher, you can listen in live, which you could be listening to live right now. Anyway. I gotta look that up, Stanley. So, anyway, let's do some box office numbers. This weekend, the number one movie based on video game more than a comic book, Rampage, came in number one at $34.5 million. It's at a budget of $120 million. It stars Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock, also known as the superhero himself. You might think that's a low number, but it's added $114 million overseas. So worldwide for its first week is $148 million. So Rampage is going to do not bad for its little couple weeks. It's going to be out before the big movie hits in about 11 days, which I cannot wait to get to. We know all about that. Let's see, Ready Player One, a book about video games, dropped to number four this week, adding $11 million to its 3-week total of $114 million, and its worldwide total, it takes too long to load up, is $474 million, so not bad. Yeah. He wasn't sure how this movie would do. I do have to admit, after watching it a second time, like, I liked the movie, but I wasn't one of these people like, oh, I got to see for all these Easter eggs and all the things I missed. Well, when I saw it a second time, I was just watching it, to be honest. Not that I thought, oh, the movie is not as good as I thought, but to me, it wasn't like, wow, second viewing was just as good as the first one. I just got through it, so. And that's just my opinion, of course. Black Panther. Finally, after 9 weeks, it's finally dropped out of the top five. It was 5 weeks at number one, and then it lasted another 4 weeks in the top five. Now it drops down to the sixth place with $5.3 million to its total of $673 million, which is the third highest grossing domestic film of all time. Now, it's not going to catch Avatar, because that would be another $100 million. And unfortunately, it's not going to be around that long to even make that kind of money, let alone. But the question is, will it be the third movie to hit the $700 million mark? It's not that far from it. It needs about another $27 million. To make it, and got a few weeks to go before it's released on a home release, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. The Isle of the Dog animated Wes Anderson movie, seventh place at $5 million. Its gross total after 4 weeks is $18 million. And that's about it, really. Let's see. Sherlock Holmes has dropped down to 12. Dummy Gnome, yeah. That was an animated feature, came out 4 weeks ago. $2.1 million has only brought in $36 million. It had a budget of $59 million. Really a disappointment. Pacific Rim, at the 4 weeks, has dropped down to 14th with $1.3 million. It brought in $57 million after 4 weeks. But overseas, let's hurry up. Okay, alright. It brought in $269 million. So, if you was one of those people that kind of like Pacific Rim, well, you think it wish it would go away, it's not going away. Wrinkle in Time, which is probably the biggest disappointment so far. Its domestic total is $92 million, and its worldwide total is $118 million. Now, I don't know what happened overseas, whether it never really opened overseas, or it's just a matter of time. Let's see. Oh, it opened in a lot of markets, but didn't make a lot of money overseas, so. I don't know. Maybe Oprah just don't have the overseas appeal that she has here. Sad. Anyway, I think so far Wrinkle Time is probably the biggest blockbuster disappointment of the year. And that, you know, I wish it had did better, but I think it came out at the wrong time, to be honest. Tomb Raider, which was the reboot of the video game franchise, is all the way down to 19. At the 5 weeks, it only added it didn't need 470,000. Its total is $56 million domestic, but it has made money overseas, so that franchise could keep going also. And that's about it, really. All things will stop until, you know, the 26th of February, I mean not February, April, when the end comes. Hold on a second. So, you know what I want to talk about? Everybody's favorite TV show. No, not that one. Not that one either. No, not the Netflix show. You know what show I'm talking about. The show is so controversial, it caused a rift in this particular show. It caused a rift that we've never been able to get over, unfortunately. And that's Gotham. Gotham, you know, love it or hate it, it's still going strong. Maybe around for a few more years, who knows. The reason why I bring up Gotham because a couple of things. First thing, this season, they made it seem like this would be the season where Bruce Wayne would start his journey into becoming the Dark Knight we all know and love. And at first it started out like that, you know, he was putting on his little black suit, not a Batman suit, but just a black suit. He was beating people over the heads when he had a chance. And you're thinking, all right, so, we know, he's on his way. But then, you know, part of the thing that started him on his path was meeting Ra's al Ghul, however you want to pronounce it. And then Ra's, for some reason, forced Bruce Wayne into killing him. And after that, Bruce Wayne kind of lost it. Little boy billionaire Bruce Wayne lost it. He's like, I don't deserve to be doing this. He won't listen to Alfred anymore. He started acting like a spoiled rich brat, drinking, hanging out with people that really is not his friends, buying up clubs and stuff, and acting like a douche. Now, he's no longer acting a douche, but doesn't seem like he's still back on the path for becoming Batman yet. Now, while this was going on during the season, it's been rogues gallery after rogues gallery of Batman villains just running amok. It's been storyline after storyline. We've had Professor Pig show up for an arc. We've had the League of Assassins show up, all kinds of people. But the main arc I'm about to talk about was the arc dealing with Jerome Vasquez. Now, Jerome's been around since season one. When he shows up, he's this guy who works at the circus. He's being questioned about the murder of his mother. He has this little maniacal laugh, you know, Joker-like laugh and everything. And he's acting like, oh, I don't know what happened to my mother. And it turns out he murdered the mother. So, criminal. Gets locked up. But somehow Jerome keeps coming back. He's let out of jail. He's escaped from jail. He's working for different... he's being used by different criminals. And Jerome's just acting crazy, you know, Joker is crazy. And then Jerome also gets fixated on Bruce Wayne. Now, part of that because he was originally high for it, and then later it just became personal. You know, Batman and the Joker, you know, they have their relationship. And people have tried to tell me, yeah, Jerome's the Joker. And I'm like, Jerome's not the Joker. Jerome is not the Joker, people. No one listens to me. Jerome's not the Joker. So, Jerome's even killed at one point. But, you know, there's a storyline where people are, you know, brought back to life through experiments, through Hugo Strange and his diabolical craziness. Jerome's one of them. Then there was a point where Jerome's, before he's brought back to life, Jerome's face was cut off by some guy who was obsessed with Jerome. Because, you know, Jerome had an effect on people. And he had an effect on a lot of the crazies. So he cut Jerome's face off so he could put it on his face so that he can convince people he was Jerome. That didn't fail. But Jerome's face was put back onto the real Jerome after he was brought back to life. So now Jerome is sitting in Arkham, and he's running the place crazy, of course. And his face is stitched back on, similar to the Joker's face in the new 52 Batman. And because it wasn't stitched on right, you know, the mouth was like the Joker and everything. And, you know, he kind of talked like a Heath Ledger Joker. You know, usually the Joker has a higher pitched voice, but the Heath Ledger Joker had a more lower tone voice. So he kind of did an imitation of that particular Joker. And so this arc, but before this arc, he's in Arkham. The Penguin gets thrown in there. He's fucking with the Penguin. And he kind of likes the Penguin. Penguin will not want to have nothing to do with Arkham. He wants to be back out there. He can be running the streets of Gotham. So after the Penguin gets out of Arkham through his escape, we think, okay, that's the end of Jerome. But then they do this whole storyline where Jerome, the Mad Hatter, and the Scarecrow, they all escape Arkham. And then they get together with Mr. Freeze, Firefly, and a reluctant Penguin. With Jerome sitting there like, yes, we're gonna paint this town red. And he puts together this plan where he's got the cops chasing one way while he's doing something else. First they got Arkham in, and, you know, with the inmates in Arkham going crazy, so they have to try to lock that down while he's running around looking for his uncle. He's trying to get information out of his uncle. Bruce Wayne, who thinks he's responsible for Jerome, goes after him. Kinds of stops Jerome from killing his uncle. But Jerome gets the information he's looking for. At the same time, the other people working for him, which is like the Scarecrow and the Mad Hatter, the Scarecrow, well, he's working on his formula. You know, he's already got his little fear formula. But he's working on a formula for the Joker. And the Penguin's just like, you know, he would be all right with all this, but he kind of starting to realize this is not about ruling the underworld, making money. This is just madness. So he's trying to figure a way out of it. He even gets Grundy to come aboard, kind of to protect him, but they didn't make much of Grundy coming aboard other than Grundy showing up. So what Jerome was after, he finds it. And it turns out Jerome has a twin brother named Jeremiah. Jeremiah, normal looking guy, looked like the way Jerome used to look. Engineer, super brilliant. Living in seclusion, you know, because he's fearful of his brother. He knows one day his brother going to try to come after him and kill him. He's living in, he built his house like a labyrinth so that he would be safe. And somehow that didn't work because he found a way in. So they take Jeremiah into custody, you know, to keep him safe. Jerome sits there and he gets this gas from the Scarecrow, and it's the laughing gas. Turns out it's the laughing gas. Sprays it, laughs himself to death. You know that's making him happy. Now, at this point, even I'm wondering, maybe he's a Joker? Until the twin brother showed up. And I'm like, I see where this is going. I know where this is going. I've been right all along. Jerome's not the Joker. So they take advantage of some outdoor concert, and they got everybody hostage. And they're like, we're going to kill everybody unless you bring me my twin brother and Bruce Wayne. And they got the mayor and the police commissioner and all these top officials. And Jerome got bombs on their necks. And when they're not, he's not getting what he wants, he's blowing their heads off one at a time. Finally, Jeremiah shows up. Bruce Wayne shows up. Somehow they figure out that this crowd that they've got captured, they're going to drop a massive amount of laughing gas on them. Well, it's Gotham, of course. The plot is stopped with the help of Gordon and the GCPD and a little bit of Bruce Wayne, because, you know, you can't supposedly have a Joker or a Batman. What's going on Skype? Hold on, I might have missed a call. Okay. Then, of course, Jerome gets chased onto a roof where he's now dangling with his life hanging in the balance, and Gordon could either rescue him or let him fall. Gordon tries to do the right thing and rescue him, and Jerome's like, chomp, and falls to his death. Supposedly dead this time. Hits a car. Now, when you hit the car, I'm like, maybe he's not dead. But, you know, hours later, he's still laying there. So now it's supposed to be, it's all over with. No one knows what happened to the other crazies. You never saw them get arrested or anything like that. But now Jeremiah is supposed to be safe. And Bruce Wayne's like, oh, you're brilliant. You know, I'm going to give you a grant so you can do things for the city. Jeremiah goes back to his home where he thinks, all right, this is over. And he looks and he sees a gift, a package, a box sitting on his table. And he looks at the card and it says, it's from the Wayne Foundation. Now, for some reason, for somebody so brilliant, it never occurred to him, nobody's been to his house other than these crazies and Gordon and Bullock. So it's not like anybody can just walk in and leave a package. Yet he opens it like an idiot. And it's a jack-in-the-box, ugly-looking jack-in-the-box. And then he gets doused with the spray. And then you hear Jerome's voice in the jack-in-the-box. And he's like, yes, brother, this is, you know, a special thing. Don't fight it. I knew my time was short, but you're going to continue my work. And you see him transforming into who's supposed to be the Joker. And I'm like, yes, I knew all along once they introduced this twin brother, that was going to be who they was going to make into the Joker. Now, whether he shows up in this show or not, it remains to be seen. But I'd like to say I feel vindicated that Jerome Vasquez was not the Joker. Thank you very much. Doom, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Nothing, man. Just giving me a road report. All right. Went to that Marvel Universe Live this weekend.
Oh, damn. Snap. All right, I'm ready. Fill me in.
It is worth the money.
All right, I got my popcorn. I'm ready to go. Talk to
me. Oh, man. Well, I know you ain't got no kids, but it's good for kids and adults.
Who says I don't have no kids?
Huh?
Who said I don't got no kids?
I don't know.
You don't know.
But it's good for all ages.
Mm-hmm. So what was the story about?
Basically, Nebula steals the wand of Watoom, and the Avengers and the Guardians got to get it back from her.
Okay. And so it was a lot of what, stunting and motorcycles?
Spider-Man slinging around on a cable and stuff. That's what threw my little kids blew his head, because Spider-Man's his favorite superhero. So when he saw him swinging around.
Unlike the Spider-Man Turn Out the Dark, where they were swinging around getting hurt, right?
Nah, it's real safe. They had that Thor was in there. They did an effect when he called for his hammer and the hammer zipped across the stage and went to his hand. That was pretty cool.
Right, right.
The costumes and cool. I mean, it was basically the cartoon characters' voices, you know, acting, but the stunt work was on point.
Oh, wow. What was you like? You had a good low seas up.
Yeah, they had a thing like here was if you had ticket stubs to the Black Panther, you get 6 tickets for stub free. So I got like 7 tickets because I had 2 stubs, and then I paid like an extra $15 for the $30 seats. If you sit in the front of the thing, it's pretty. I mean, you could. It's like a 180. So as long as you get close middle seats, they're pretty good.
You sound like he's still excited from that show.
Oh no, this the littlest one.
He didn't see it.
Oh, he went to go see it. He was watching too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's fun, man. You know, like it starts off Doctor Strange is floating in the air, doing all this mystical stuff.
No Thanos, huh?
Huh?
No Thanos, huh?
Nah, Loki's no Loki. In it.
Yeah.
But this came out with 2 years before. You know, I think Thanos starts showing up. So.
So they just do they do the same story like every year.
Well, I think it's only running for 2 years. So yeah. If it comes to Philly, you should
it's
be
been
able
hit
to...
like twice.
Oh, okay, should have went, man.
Yeah, well, I kind of saw it the first time around.
Yeah, it's worth it, man.
So, were you listening to my Gotham story?
Nah.
Just now?
I'm in the middle of cooking dinner. I just wanted to do a quick run-in real quick. You know, just give you an update. You know, tell people to go see it.
And you don't watch Gotham, right?
No, I don't watch Gotham.
Because I was explaining about the whole Jerome situation.
You know, nah, I don't know. Nothing on it.
You don't know about Jerome?
Nah, I think he's supposed to be the Joker or something.
No. Told people he wasn't the Joker. Turned out I was vindicated. Because they introduced his twin brother, Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerome, so they're gonna... Jerome's dead.
Uh-huh.
And Jeremiah got dosed with this gas that's turned him into the Joker.
Okay.
Because Jerome...
Are they going to do the three Joker storyline?
No. Not unless he was a triplet.
Yeah. I got you. But, I gotta run, man. The little ones are calling me. Just wanted to do a quick running and get some love on the Sunday service.
Yeah, you know, running is fine, but I need people to be with me.
If I get freed up, I'll try to call back in.
Yeah, I'll be off the air by then. Cause then
my bad. I'll try next Sunday.
You make sure I'm still in the air, first of all. Am I still in the air? Yeah, I said so far. And still? Hi. All right, man. Take it easy. Let me see what this Stanley wants me to talk about with the Stanley. He's saying it's a Stanley thing. And I saw some things, but I don't know the whole story behind it, so. Let me see if I can... watch this YouTube as quick and keep y'all entertained at the same time. Okay.
True believers, this is Stan Lee.
In this exclusive video sent to Inside Edition, comic book icon Stan Lee is firing back today over reports that he is a victim of elder abuse.
My life is pretty well organized the way I want it, and I hope it stays that way.
Lee is the creative genius behind superhero Spider-Man, the X-Men, and Black Panther. In the video, Lee, who is 95 and worth $50 million, looks fit and healthy.
Anything you may see there.
Okay. I kind of saw that story that supposedly Stanley's being elderly abused. Like, he's being forced to do all this work. And, you know, he's 95 years old. And I hope I reach 95 and live to see another 95 after that. But, I think his daughter was either abusing him or trying to stop him from being abused. It's hard to... Stanley, you're in the chat room. Type what you think was going on.
With my name under it.
In the chat room for me, so we can... I can try to go over it for you.
It's a fraud, a fake. It's just not me. I don't complain on Facebook. I don't ask for pity or...
Home, here in a celebrity...
Totally incorrect, inaccurate, misleading, insulting, and...
That alleged his fortune was being drained by hangers-on and his own 67-year-old daughter, J.C. Lee.
I just want to set the record straight.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of sad to get to talk about stories like that. But anyway, another sad story real quick. Studio Ghibli co-founder Isao Takahashi is dead at 82. This was an old story I could have talked about last week, but we weren't on the air because last week was the WrestleMania weekend. So, you know, unfortunately I get bumped that Sunday. No big deal. It says the co-creator of one of the most revered animation studios in the world, Studio Ghibli, passed away, which was a couple last week, at the age of 82. Takahashi co-founded Studio Ghibli that would go on to create such films as Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, in 1985, alongside Hayao Miyazaki. I always mess his name up. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these other Japanese names. And Takahashi directed numerous films throughout his career, chief among them being Grave of the Fireflies, a semi-autobiographical animation about the horrors of post-World War II Japan. The film was released in 1988 and was lauded by critics. It's popularly endorsed to this day as one of the most moving war films of all time. So, yeah, it was sad to see that he passed away, you know, pioneer genius. And let's see. Of course, we all know the story about Black Panther being now the third highest grossing film after grossing, going past Titanic. But also Black Panther-wise, because, you know, this, we in a world of Wakanda people. Black Panther-inspired WakandaCon is planned in Chicago. So a new kind of fan convention is headed to Chicago this summer, WakandaCon. A three-day event celebrating Afrofuturism, tech, and community outreach. Take place at the Hilton Chicago. A convention was inspired by the recent film, including Marvel's Black Panther, from which the event gets its name. Now, are they wonder if they're going to allow to keep that name WakandaCon? Because, you know, Wakanda is a trademark name. Well, we'll find out if there's any problems or not. WakandaCon includes a lineup of panels, lectures, workshops, live entertainment. Additionally, the event will feature a marketplace for African-American small business owners. WakandaCon is currently open for submissions for programming, vendors, sponsors, and volunteers. Applications are available on the convention's official website. The convention, co-founded by Chicago area siblings David Ali and Matt Bothwell, entrepreneur Lisa Baisley and producer Taylor Whitten. WakandaCon is officially described as a fan-driven convention celebrating Afrofuturism, tech, pop culture in Chicago, Illinois. And a black organized and operated convention. Doesn't sound like a comic book convention to me. Now, personally, this is for anybody who cares, but the Keystone Comic Con's website has officially opened. And I was looking at the prices. 3-day tickets cost $75. I can't wait to get mine or get a press pass, whichever comes first. I really hope to be there one way or another. September, Philadelphia. Here's another news story for you. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Gabriel Luna is the new Terminator. Now, Gabriel Luna was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Robbie Reyes' Ghost Rider. It says that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Gabriel Luna will play the new Terminator in the upcoming Tim Miller's directed film, according to Deadline. Luna's other credits include TV's Matador and features Freehold and Transpercados. Reyes and previously announced Diego Bontina. Also, stop moving, Paige. Sorry. Also set to star in the film. They join Mackenzie Davis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Linda Hamilton in the Skydance new Terminator movie, which will begin production this summer. The next Terminator movie is both set to start a new trilogy of films that also works as a direct sequel to Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Ignoring Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, Terminator Salvation, and Terminator Genesis. In addition to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hamilton will also return to the franchise as the seasoned warrior version of Sarah Connor. James Cameron, who will regain the Terminator rights in 2019, is producing the film series with David Ellison of Skydance. People, no, we need to stop with this Terminator. It don't work anymore. The premise of Terminator, it's convoluted. Big fan of the original Terminator. Love Terminator 2. 3 I didn't think was too bad. Since then, though, it's just definitely been downhill. You know, we got the one with John Connor, and we thought we was going to finally see how John Connor fought the machines and brought the humans back from the brink of destruction, and it was a flop. Half the film wasn't even about John Connor. And John Connor didn't do enough. We just sat on the radio and talked about never giving up. And then we had this last one, which could have been okay, but it's still the whole thing about the Terminator. They tell you in the beginning, they stopped the machines. The last thing the machine did was send one Terminator through the time machine. Before they destroyed it. They destroyed it. So then they sent somebody to stop that Terminator. There's no reason why this should be more things coming through the time machine. It never made sense for a sequel. But of course it made money and they wanted to make more money. And Terminator 2 made a lot of money. But they need to let it go. The one thing I wanted to see personally was to see how John Connor defeated the machines. But what they didn't take from that original Terminator, when you would see those flashbacks in the future and everything looked dark and grim and skeletons everywhere and just destruction, and somehow they didn't show that in Terminator Genesis. So let's stop. Stop with the Terminators. Stop it. Please, it's not worth it. This is not gonna be any better. Arnold's getting old. Some people gonna come out and see it, but it's not gonna be a hit. It's not. Wasting money, really are. Incredibles 2 dropped a new trailer this week, and still in the air. Standing. Let's see. There's video on YouTube, etc. Like, Stanley, buddy, you still haven't called me. You haven't called me all year. But very few people have called me all year, too. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show on RantEnRadio.com. Now, even though I'm a show all by myself, there are other shows here on RantEnRadio that you can listen to during the week. Tomorrow at 11:15 is the Sports Report. Tuesday, you get Shining Wizards at 7 p.m. and then the Rant Live at 9. Friday is Rant and Wrestling. And then Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. And once a month, on Saturday night, is the Midnight Jury. I believe there was a show yesterday. So we should have another show in a month. And for all us Avengers fans out there, we were doing a special on the 28th at 8 p.m. RantEnRadio.com about the Infinity War. So make sure you tune in for that. And, you know, if you watched it and you want to call in and talk about it, well, that's what the show's about. So. And we'll be back on the air next Sunday for the What Are You Reading comic book show. So, Stanley, stay out of trouble. Doom, thanks for calling in. Everybody else for listening live or in the chat room or on the download, thanks for doing that too. I will see y'all next week. See what happens. You get a short show, so I'm out. Peace.